Okay, well, Brother Paul spilled the beans. I was going to say something, but yes, life-changing events, to be sure. And by the grace of God, even surer than that. As always, appreciate the opportunity to come here and have fellowship with my those of like precious faith. All right. A little demonstration here to start off with this morning. What I've got here. Let's see here. Get this out of here. Okay, I got a syringe. And ask you a question. What is in this syringe right now? Air, exactly. I'm going to take this plunger. And I'm going to remove it, cleanse the syringe, if you will, of as much air as possible. Then, placing my thumb on this tip, I'm going to remove this syringe. Okay, fine. You heard the pop. You've done it before. We all know it's about popping. We get the bubble wrap and we like to pop things and this, you hear things pop. And you heard that pop. I'm at school messing with these things. I use these things for a little hydraulics type of investigations at school. And sure enough, pop, 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 pop. Okay, get busy with the lab, will you? Okay, so my question to you is, what was the reason for the pop? Why did we hear that? Okay, I removed the air, put my thumb here, as I pull up the air that was in there, which wasn't a whole lot, I'm creating a very low pressure region inside the syringe. Out here is, of course, just ambient pressure, air pressure. And so that air wants to do what? It wants to rush back in there, which it did. That's why you heard the pop. Okay. Well, good old fluid mechanics 101 there. Oh. Okay. I do want to write something on the board. I should have said something first, but I'd like to entitle this morning's edification, Clean Yet Empty. Go to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, King James. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And to, here's a key word here, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We observe the Lord's table this morning, the very reason that we have the opportunity to be cleansed, that we recognize and remember every Lord's Day. If it wasn't for Jesus' sacrifice, we would not have the opportunity to, one, to be cleansed in the first place. Agreed? Okay. I'll get to more of that here in a minute. I'm going to share with you some human traits, I guess you could call them. Meticulous. No detail, regardless of how small or big it is, can escape their watchful eyes. Intelligent. They are an intelligent lot who would love to know about various subjects and increase their general knowledge. They're practical, analytical, reliable, modest, overcritical, fussy. Well, if you were born between August 23rd and September 22nd, me and perhaps some of you out there are, as society would like to label you as, are Virgos. They say, why is Paul talking about that nonsense? That's what it is. Virgos are intelligent, patient, and very, very, like I said, humble. Okay? But I was at a staff gathering some weeks ago, and one of my colleagues, whose son I had as a student quite a few years ago, she took me aside and began to visit with me about him. I kind of keep track of him on Facebook. She showed me photos of him and his lovely girlfriend, whom he's been dating on and off for 8 years, and broken up twice, but they're back together again. And, you know, I asked her, when's you going to marry her? And she responded with the following. Man, I can sure see that Capricorn in him. So focused on his career of photography, He just has a hard time handling distractions, regardless of how cute and personable she might be. He's just so focused. He's just a Capricorn inside and out. So I responded with, well, is that because he's a Capricorn? Or is that perhaps that's just simply part of his God-given personality? We've all got one. You know, the nature and nurture type of thing. We are a creation of God. He gave us all innate abilities. And the way we go about doing things sometimes. And we're also, you know, a product of our surroundings, our family we grew up with, and so forth. Well, she took that well. And it got me to thinking about a topic that actually Sonny, who's home ill today, she had been given some thought. She had been to her beautician or hairdresser, what do you call them these days. And they got to talking about the occult and witchcraft. Well, I'm not here this morning to talk to you about the occult or witchcraft. But yet, it got me to thinking. Hence the title of my talk this morning, Clean Yet Empty. Again, recall my demonstration with the syringe. You heard the popping noise. I had cleansed the air out of the syringe, and as I removed that plunger, the air rushed back in. Let me read 1 John 1 and 9 again. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In essence, Jesus, because of His sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary, can and will remove from our record, if you will, those sins that beset us, providing that we are willing to work at removing them most diligently. When we repent of sin, be it of the mind, the heart, what we say or what we do, He is just to forgive us because He made that possible. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted His raiment and cast lots. As a teacher, I'm passionate about what I do. You can ask Brother Ed, who's been my sub for many years now. I miss him doing that, but and sometimes my passion gets the best of me by sometimes what I say. And I ask for forgiveness, and I also apologize to the student who was incurring my wrath at times. But here we have Jesus upon the cross between heaven and earth. God has turned His back on Him because He cannot look upon the sin that Jesus bore at that moment, the sins of the world. He had been betrayed by those whom He loved the most. And so there He hung between heaven and earth, all the very definition of loneliness. How can one be more lonely than that? But at the same time, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know what He could have done? In those 40 days in the wilderness, when Satan came to Him and tempted Him three times with food, with power, all He had to do was to fall down and worship Satan. And what did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. Take a hike. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 4 and 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation, a covering for our sins. The Scriptures are rife with verses that tell us that God loves us and God is willing to forgive us if we repent. He's willing to cleanse us if we repent. He also instructed us on how we should treat each other in our battle towards fighting sin, in our desire to be repentant and to change our ways. In 1 Peter 4 and 8, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. James 5 and 20, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Proverbs 10 and 12, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. We have the opportunity for God to not only to forgive us, but to cleanse us at that moment when we ask for forgiveness and repent. So it stands to reason that once something has been cleansed or something removed, like with the syringe, then there exists a void. For a short period of time, or maybe even longer, there's nothing there. After dinner, we clean the plates. Nice and clean. There's nothing there until we put food back on it. Or if we let it sit there, there's stuff in the air that can accumulate on it. So unless something else is put in its place, and quickly, in most a lot of cases, the vessel, for example, becomes open for something to fill that void. With the syringe, the pop, the air rushed back in. Now you've heard the expression, nature abhors a vacuum. It's likewise with our sins. Once we repent of something, we must fill that void with things spiritual. And speaking for myself for sure, and quickly, I might add. Galatians 5 and 6, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I ask God of this daily before I go to school. I ask that I walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. I'm thankful that for Brother Paul's lesson in 2 Samuel this morning. Fits in real well. What did Paul ask you about? Why did Solomon and David and every other king of Israel, why did they want more horses and chariots and soldiers and swords and whatever else? Why did they want those things? It was a lack of faith, quite frankly, is what Paul alluded to. Because what did God say that he would do for the children of Israel? What does God say he will do for us today? He will fight our battles. We are to be soldiers of Christ, for sure. Onward, Christian soldiers in the red hymnal. God is our commander in chief. God is our army. God is our chariot. He's our horse. He's put on the full armor of God. God looks at the gospel as the sword, and we are to yield it. Not like the Apostle Peter in that night in the Garden of Gethsemane when he got angry and drew out his sword and chopped off the ear of the high priest's servant. You recall, what did Jesus do? He just kind of put it back on. Can you imagine being there and witnessing that? Oh, his ear's gone. Oh, it's back on. How'd that happen? We are to yield the sword of the Spirit, His Word. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, refers to that as well. Look for things above, not on things of earth. God will provide. He will provide not only the necessities of life. All of you out there, you got clothes on your back. You had food on the table this morning, I assume. And you will have likewise when you return home. You have transportation. You have jobs. You have the multiple blessings that God has given us though we don't deserve them. But still he says, look to things above. Look to me as your army. Rest assured, brothers and sisters, Satan will find those proverbial kinks in your spiritual armor. Ephesians chapter 6, I appreciated the reading this morning, Brother Jerry. And hurl at you, hurl at me, day in and day out, his wickedness through all sorts of seemingly innocent pastimes. I am of the opinion, scriptural, mind you, that he will not ever leave you alone. Oh, she's just too strong in the Lord. I can't handle that. I'm just going to leave her alone. Wrong. The stronger you are, the harder he's going to work to disable you. And so we have to be diligent. Christ commands us to be diligent in 1 Peter 5 and 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeing who he may devour. Satan doesn't rest, so nor shall we, nor should we. Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. If we do not replace those things we have repented of, Satan will fill them in for us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, but of the times and the season, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as a travail upon a woman with a child. They shall not escape. But ye, brethren, ye are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others. Let us watch and be sober, because if we don't, Satan will fill in those voids. Satan will creep in, sometimes unaware. So as we read this morning in Ephesians chapter 6, we are to put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles, what are some synonyms for wile? Wile, like Wile E. Coyote. What else might you say for that word? Schemes. Sneaky. Sometimes he's not that roaring. You can hear a roaring lion. I like to watch sometimes these nature videos of the lions attacking a water buffalo. Another water buffalo is coming to his rescue. And you hear that lion. You hear him loud and clear. But sometimes they're sneaky. So we have to be vigilant. Sometimes Satan, he's sneaky. You know, he's very sneaky. I don't know how some of you brothers feel when you get up here and provide an edification or lead songs or whatever the case may be. When I was speaking for myself, sometimes I almost feel like a hypocrite getting up here, I'll be honest with you. Now, what I mean by that is I'm a sinner. I'm here talking this morning about being vigilant. I'm talking about filling our voids with things spiritual and not things worldly. Well, I'm guilty of not doing those things. I struggle against the flesh every single day. That's why when I get up in the morning, I ask God to help me walk in the Spirit. Because as soon as I put on my clothes and go out that door and go to school, there's a world before me. Seems like public education and university level, it's just Satan's stomping ground anymore and more these days. I love my job. I love my kids. Do anything for them, it's about. But it's time. It is time. Need to focus on maybe more work for the church. I don't know. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Yet we can all take comfort knowing that we are not alone in this daily struggle. We have the Word, the sword of the Spirit. We have each other. We have fellowship. Anyone who thinks they can live a Christian life without fellowship is only fooling themselves. God put the church together for multiple reasons. One of them being hanging out with your brothers and sisters in Christ. We had a sister walk in this morning asking for prayers. And pray we shall. She knew she could come in here and ask for prayers. She knew full well that we would pray for her and her family. And so we shall. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points. Let me say that again. All points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. We won't be able to do that. But we have a high priest. We have an advocate to the Father who on our behalf will cleanse us. And then we need to ask Him to fill in those voids with His love and His peace and His courage. You know, there are many things that I occupy our time with. A good book. I just finished not too long ago a good book on called The Rocketeer about Robert H. Goddard, the father of modern rocketry. I like sitting down at the keyboard, a little resurgence. I've been playing the piano for many, many years and brought my piano back from our old where we used to live and been sitting down pretty much every night and enjoying that. I'm probably more relaxed and playing better than I ever had before. Why? I don't know. I guess no expectation. It's just me and the keyboard and standing there in the lounger enjoying the music. Building model airplanes, listening to my classical music, hanging out with Sonny, Lindsay, Brandon, and Lord willing here in a few months, hanging out with my grandboys. Excited about that. Communicating with Kelly on the other side of the planet. Etc., etc. These are all good things. Blessings from God to be sure, no question. Yet where do we or I draw the line? Where do I need to be much more often? Not reading horoscopes, for sure. Not looking to the world for answers to life's biggest and most challenging aspects. And certainly not to the occult or Mother Nature. Regardless of each of our respective life circumstances, we are all the respective products of the decisions that we make. Not our parents, not our teachers, not anyone else make on a daily basis, but what we decide we are going to do. I recently dedicated myself to the Word, the W period, O period, R period, D period from out of Pleasant Hill. Mark Herman's organizes that. You see it on Facebook every day. I ask for your prayers that I can sit down and read daily and answer the questions on paper. This morning was Mark chapter 3. I'm not trying to intend to boast here. I just need your prayers that I can fill in my voids. And there are plenty with the Word of God, with fellowship. And look to the wonderful example set by my wife, for sure. In closing this morning, I wish to take us to the time when Jesus, having recently addressed and fed the 5,000, He decided to walk out to a ship that was being, you know, we know the story, violently tossed about. It's in Matthew chapter 14, verses 26 through 31. I'm not going to read all the verses, but we know what happened. Peter stepped out of the boat. And Jesus said, "Come unto me." Peter walked out there, walking on the water. I don't think he even realized it there for a second. And all of a sudden it dawned on him, I'm walking on the water. And what did he do? He took his eyes off the Lord. And what happened? He started to sink like a brick. O ye of little faith. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you the peace that passeth understanding. The world's not going to provide it. You see that day in and day out. They're at war with themselves. What am I going to do about it? Pray and go to the voting booth when the time presents itself. What else am I going to do? Am I going to travel to Washington, D.C. and sit there and protest? No. Would Jesus involve himself and sting? No. He would say, come unto me, ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is our commander in chief. Let's not fool ourselves, brothers and sisters. The world's getting darker and darker and eviler, is that a word? By the day. Let's focus on our heavenly citizenship as opposed to the politics and the divisiveness of the day. I'm a proud American. I'm a vet. I'm a patriot. Okay. But more and more, I'm starting to dawn on me. Okay. I serve my country, as did a number of you. I think it was Jimmy Carter and Reagan were my commanders in chief. But who is really our commander in chief? The Lord God Almighty. I'd like to read this first and then open up to the invitation here. Philippians 3:20. For our conversation, our citizenship, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said it best in Matthew 10:34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace but a sword. Like I mentioned earlier, let's not yield the sword that Peter did. Let us yield the sword of the Spirit. For it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let's maintain our focus upon Jesus. So on that day, we will hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Jesus calls. Come forward if you need him. And well, you do. Let us stand and sing.